Sometimes that's really good. I just feel like I'm standing up here by myself. Okay. No, never alone. Jesus, Messiah, beloved. He is God's beloved. God called Jesus beloved, and he said in him he was well pleased. For quite some time as a believer, I prayed that one day that I would be beloved and that I would hear those words from my God. Those words were spoken to Jesus. I focused on those words where they came out of when the transformation happened. And he was there and God said that, but I forgot about the fact that those words were spoken to Jesus when he was baptized. In Matthew 3, it said, "And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Mark says it, "As then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.'" I spent a lot of years in the mission field, and I often would pray that prayer, "God, I want to hear those words spoken. I want to have everything well done for you." And then I made an amazing discovery. When I realized that those verses weren't just written at the transformation, they were written when Jesus was baptized. I discovered something about what he said, that God called him beloved. He called him beloved before Jesus ever preached. He called him beloved before he ever delivered anyone, before he called the disciples to him, before he saved anyone, before he died on the cross, before he took the keys of death from Satan, before he was risen by the Lord, before he ascended to the throne of God where he sits. He called him beloved before he did any of this. And Jesus calls us beloved. Sorry. Before we did anything, he calls us beloved. What an incredible message. That's how he sees each and one of you. He sees you as his beloved. He sees you as his love. As a new believer, I was trained up in the church. I was trained to go. I was supported by many, many other Christians around me. I was called into spiritual warfare to pray. I was sent to mercy ships to work, to grow up in the Lord. I thought I went there as a missionary, but I think God sent me there so I would grow in the Lord. Every one of us is on a boat, every single one of us. Sometimes our boat is illness, sometimes it's loneliness, sometimes it's prison, sometimes it's tragedy. You see, it doesn't really matter what the boat is. What matters is who is in the boat with you. You know, it's just amazing. When Jesus entered his ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. I forget that even when I am in the presence of others, even when I'm struggling with the hardest things I have to struggle with, my Lord's still there. Even though I'm not hearing him, I'm not seeing him, he is still there. He's always there for us. Why? Because we are his beloved. He doesn't leave us alone ever. He never leaves us by ourselves. I look at who the beloved is. What do I mean when I say the beloved? Who do you call the beloved? Who do you call my love in your life? is the person that you have the closest relationship with. The Lord, the beloved of God, says, I will declare and decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. The relationship that God the Father had with the Son was from the very beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. This is the relationship Jesus had with his Father. The two are as one. This is the relationship he wants us to have with him. It's the relationship of the beloved. The beloved, the one who is loved by your Lord and Savior. I love the words in Genesis. God spoke to a woman in Genesis who was not even a believer, Hagar. We often think of Sarah when we think of Genesis and Abraham, but it was Hagar who drifted into the desert after being sent away by Sarah, who called to the God of Abraham, who called out, and God saw her. He sought her out, and she called him the God that seeth me. You see, ladies, God sees you. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. It doesn't matter what stage you're at. It doesn't matter whether you're walking strong or whether you're feeble and unable to do anything for yourself. The Lord your God sees you. He knows you. The Lord your God hears you. He hears the inner cry of the heart. How do I know that? Go back to Abraham and let's look at Sarah. When the angel of the Lord came and said that she would have a child, Sarah laughed. She didn't laugh out loud. It said she laughed inside herself. This was a woman whose greatest desire was to have a child. And she was past the age of childbearing. She had no hope left in herself. But the Lord, her God, heard her. He heard the cry of her heart. Because, see, that's what the beloved does. He hears the cries of our heart. He knows us. He knows each and every one of us. I love the fact that Jesus says of his relationship with the Father that I and my Father are one. Look what it helped him to do. When he was tempted, Jesus held on to that. He held on to being the beloved of his Father, and he didn't fall into temptation. When he was abandoned by all his friends, he still held on to being the beloved of his Father, and he did not despair. When he was on the cross, Jesus called upon the one who called him the beloved Son. Those words are beloved, have an incredible meaning when you think that of all the words God could have used to describe Jesus when he made himself known, the words he chose was beloved. Those are the words that are chosen for us, beloved. We are the beloved. We enter into a relationship with the beloved of the Father. We love him because he first loved us. We begin as being the beloved of Jesus. We know this. We know that we're the beloved because he died for us. Think about it. Who else do you know who has died for you? I can't think of one. He becomes my beloved when I accept what he does. We don't become beloved by what we do. We are beloved because of Jesus. We're the beloved because of what he's already done for us. Being the beloved of the Lord doesn't carry an expiration date. We are as much as beloved when we displease him as we are when we please him. We are still his beloved. That's a hard thing, ladies, for all, some of us, because we're our worst critic. We see everything that is a flaw in ourselves. We don't often see ourselves as being worthy of being the beloved. And all I have to do is look in the mirror. You know, all I have to do is ask one of my siblings, and they will tell you. And, you know, but I bet you if I asked you to tell me what your best traits are, a lot of you would struggle. But if I asked you to tell me what your worst are, all of you would have a list. This isn't how the Lord sees us. He sees us as he created us. He sees us as his beloved. He sees you as his beloved. Everything that you have about yourself, he created. Think about that. The body you're in, you know, your personality. Are you a quiet person? Are you a boisterous person? Are you full of the joy of the Lord all the time? Or do you just seem calm and at peace all the time? He has created you that way. Too often we compare ourselves with everybody around. I'm not like this person. I'm not like that person. I could never do that. I can never do this. But God is saying to each of us that you are beloved. You are beloved. You are the beloved of the bridegroom, of the one who is the beloved of the Father. I love the words that come in Song of Solomon when the Lord is referred to as my beloved in capital letters, my beloved, because that's who he is to us. And in that beautiful piece of scripture, he calls us my love, my love. Imagine that the God of all the universe, the God of the heavens and the earth, the one who created the stars, created the sun and the moon, calls you his love. That is what he wants you to see yourself as. He seeks you out. He calls to you and he gathers you to himself. He sees you as the apple of his eye, not as you see yourself or I see myself, or even as the world sees me. In Song of Solomon, he says, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. That word comely means beautiful. This is how he views you. You think that you don't have anything to offer God? God is saying, you have everything to offer you, me. I've called you my love. I've drawn you to me. You're the one that's the apple of my eye. You're the one I cherish. So when we walk through our lives, think about that. There's nothing that is impossible to do. If anybody had told me that I was going to end up in the mission field one day, I would have laughed. I would have said, the only thing I want to do, I want to go see all the famous sites of the world. I have no interest in going to Africa, no interest in going to Iraq, no interest in going to most of the places that I ended up as. But that's where God called me. And what I found was the beauty of the Lord in that place. I saw the beauty of the Lord in what he was doing. I saw a country like Albania that was closed to the gospel for 30 years open up. And within a period of 6 months, there were over 60 viable churches going on. That quick, that fast. What God showed me, there's no place in the world that the gospel cannot go. Because why? Because the Lord our God has gone before us. We can go wherever God sends us. If he sends you downtown Rochester, you can go. You need have no fear of going. If he sends you to your family, you can go. Because the Lord your God loves you. You are his love. You are his beloved. And he will set everything before you. All we have to do is receive it. We just walk into it and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. As his beloved, we can be assured that he has full possession of us. You see, nothing can take us from his hand because he loves us. He loves us. Temptation, those little foxes, as it's referred to in Song of Solomon, those little foxes that will tempt us and come at us and try to nibble away the good grapes in our lives and stuff, all of that, we don't have to worry about it because the Lord our God has already conquered the enemy. The battle isn't ours. Sometimes we get exhausted. We're tired of fighting the battle. We're not designed to fight the battle, ladies. We're not designed to do that. That is the work of the Lord, our God. That's what our beloved does for us. He protects us. He shields us. He fights the battle for us. We don't have to. We just simply walk beside him under the shelter of his arm. That's where he places us. That's the position of his love of the beloved. Okay, that's where we're at. He says that you are fair. I love those words, that you are fair. You are all fair. What a beautiful description, that there is not any blemish in me when he looks at me. I find that hard to believe because I see every little flaw. But it's not how he is. He looks at me as his love, and he sees me through the eyes of love. He doesn't see that I said the wrong thing again for the 16th time. That he doesn't see that, you know, I didn't do what I should have done, or I did something I shouldn't have done. It's not how he views me. He views me through the eyes of love. Think of the parent whose child, whose little child, does something wrong, or they trip and they fall after you've told them 16 times not to run. Do you, as the loving parent, go over and start scolding them and screaming? No, you run to them, you pick them up, you lift them up, you pat them, you make sure they're okay. This is what our Lord is doing for us. He runs to us when we trip, we fall, when we fall into those temptations that come our way. He picks us up out of the miry clay. He lifts us up again. This is who our love is. We serve the God of love, and he calls us his love. As my beloved, I place him above all else. Think of this. Above all else. Think of this in terms of a romantic relationship. Most of you have had them. When you have a love in your life, you want to put them first. You want them, everybody, to see that this is your love. This is who our God is. We place him above everything else in our life. That means I have to place him above my family. I have to place him above my job. I have to place him above every friendship I have. I place him above all the material goods in my that I have, that I'm willing to let go of any of them as long as I can cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as I can cling to him, it is sufficient. That is all I have to do. I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Paul spoke those words. Paul knew what it was to be the beloved of the beloved. It means that I turn to him in times of trouble. I don't run off to everybody else and try to figure my own way. How many of you, you know, times come, they get difficult, and the first thing you do, you run to everybody else, you try to fix it yourself, you try to do everything yourself first. Ladies, it's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to come to him first. He wants us to just lay it down at him. And then he will let you know what it is he wants you to do. It's a glorious place to be because he sees me so intimately. He knows my desires. He knows every thought of my mind. He knows where I'm at. He knows my strength, my weaknesses. And he's not going to ask me to do something that he will not enable me to do. Because he is my beloved. I am his beloved. That's the relationship of the beloved, one for another. I go to him with thanksgiving and praise. I have to admit, I have a hard time sometimes with that. When my life gets a mess, I go to God with all my complaints. I'm sure none of you do that. You know, I pour it all out before him. But it's amazing how in just going to him and beginning that, my complaints end up being praises and thanksgivings. And it doesn't take long, once I'm at the feet of my Lord, to turn that around and put it in the right relationship. Will we praise the Lord? Will we thank the Lord for everything in our life? We thank the Lord even for the difficult times that come in our life. I love what my sister Jackie said when she said that what her daughter is going through is producing this absolutely sweet spiritualness in her daughter. You see, what we see is being totally wrong or harmful, and yet God is doing and producing something of sweetness in it. As my beloved, I travel through life at his side. Think of that, ladies. A lot of times, I get to walking on my own and I don't recognize that the Lord is right there with me. I'm looking at the wrong things. I'm looking out here or over there instead of looking at my beloved who's right there at my side. Each of us, ladies, walk this walk. He's there for each of us. He's not there more for me than he is for you or for you or for you. He's there for each of us because he sees each of us as his beloved. You are a treasure to him, and that is how he wants you to view yourself in his eyes. The other thing of having him as my beloved is that I can love him with all my being, that there is not a single part of my being that cannot love the Lord. That means from my thought process, my emotions, my heart, every part of me can love my Lord because he is my beloved, because he calls me my beloved. He calls me his, and he is my all in all. There is not a single day in life as a believer that you have to walk alone. Think about that. From the moment that you said to the Lord, I do receive you, you have not walked alone. He has never left you alone. Even in your darkest hours, he has not left you. Even when nobody else was there to stand beside you, he did not leave you alone. Simply because you are his beloved. You are the one that he wants. He chose you. Before the beginning of time, he chose you. Scripture says before you were formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. I love that. I love the fact that before I even came to be, that he had chosen me to have the relationship of the beloved with him. This is where we are. In that, we have the strength and the power to do whatever it is that God would set before us. It doesn't matter that by the world's standard, it seems impossible. It seemed impossible that I was ever going to be with Mercy Ships when I was waiting to hear the information. I didn't have the money to go. I didn't have any of it. And miraculously, within weeks, God had provided everything, and I was there. It did not seem when I was in Africa and I was down with malaria, and they're telling me that the medications weren't working, and the type I had was basically a death sentence. And yet, here I am, ladies. Here I am, you know? And you call upon the Lord. You see, that wasn't God's plan. That was the enemy's plan, but it wasn't God's. I can stand here and say, too, I've been abused. It's not an easy path to have to walk. But God never left me alone. I was not there by myself. And I can say that God has taken that and has used that for good in my life, because I have a compassion for people that I never had before. I have a compassion for victims because of what they've gone through. God has taken what the enemy meant to destroy my life and has instead turned it around for his glory. You see, God can take what we see as the most horrendous thing happening in a life, and in his hands, when we turn it over to him, not only does he make it a thing of beauty, but he teaches you that you can let it go. You can forgive. If anybody had told me I would ever forgive a person who abused me, I would have said absolutely not, because I will never feel like that. But it wasn't a matter of feeling. It's a matter of choosing. I chose Jesus Christ. He chose me as his beloved, and that's who I walk as. I walk as his beloved. I don't walk as a victim. I don't walk as somebody cast down. I don't walk as somebody who is a nobody, because I am the beloved of the beloved. And that's the message that I believe God would really have you guys know, that no matter what you've gone through, that you are the beloved of the beloved, that there is no higher place to be for you. And this is where we stand as women. This is the message that we can pass on to women, that we are beloved of God. I'd like to have you guys start the last song. And what I'd like everybody to do as the song is playing is just to think upon what I've said, to think upon who you are as his beloved, who you are. There are those of you who may not know the Lord. I don't know where each person stands, but I know where God stands. There are those of you who are struggling in your walk with the Lord. He's right there beside you. He's carrying you. He's your beloved. There are those who are brand new to your faith, and it seems all excitement, and you're wondering, is it going to last? Over 35 years ago, I accepted the Lord, and I am as passionate for the Lord God as I was the day I first said, I do. In fact, it's grown stronger and stronger because of the Lord. Not that I am strong. It's in my weakness that he's made strong. He takes that weakness and makes me strong. as that song begins to play, and you begin to just sit there, turn to Song of Solomon. In the second chapter, the second chapter of Song of Solomon, and start at verse 8. And as you listen to this, read through this as you listen to this song, because it is the voice of your beloved. Behold, he comes, skipping on the mountains and skipping upon the hills. Go ahead and start it, please.